You've heard all about this whole paleo thing, but you've wondered if it's really for you. You've been searching for someone to guide you along the way. Your search is over. Let registered nurse Marie Grace Berg lead the way with these inspiring stories of people who have been where you are. Welcome to Transitioning to Paleo Made Easy with Marie Grace Berg.
Have you ever wondered why you're having a hard time losing weight? Eat More, Burn More is focused on helping you transform your body into a fat-burning mode by turning off the hormone that sabotages your fat loss. Go to eatmoreburnmoresystem.com to learn more. All right, paleo fans out there, let's get started. I am excited to introduce you our amazing guest for today, Nicole Reiner. Nicole Reiner is the founder and creator of the popular paleo blog cavemama.com, where she shares her story of raising seven the paleo way. Her mantra, strong healthy parents make strong healthy kids. We are thrilled to hear more of her stories as we take her back to her journey when she first started living the paleo lifestyle. To our paleo fans, Nicole Reiner, welcome to the show.
So Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we are very honored to have you on our show, and we are so excited to hear your story. So if you have to get started, I'd like for you to share us a little about you and how did you decide to go paleo?
Okay, well, like you said, my name is Nicole. I have seven children ranging in age from 7 to 17. I have four natural children and three step, and they're all mine. They're amazing kids. But what made me decide to go paleo? I was always, after each child, looking for a way to be healthy again, to get back my figure, to feel good. And so I did a lot of the whole wheat, egg white, restrict your calories, kill yourself, run until you die type of things. And then I started getting a little pressed for time because I had, you know, a lot of children, 3 and 3 years. So through Facebook, actually, I had a friend who suggested that I go to marksdailyapple.com. And I ignored her for a while, because I just, that whole high fat thing kind of bugged me. And so I finally, just to appease her, went to marksdailyapple.com. When I did, I spent the next 4 hours reading articles, and then I went and bought the book, The Primal Blueprint, and then I bought The Paleo Solution, and I kind of just dove in.
Right, so you got started with Mark's Daily Apple out of your desire to get back to a healthy lifestyle for yourself, and that transcends to your family as well. So thank you for sharing that. I think with me too, I got my start with researching the internet and came across Mark Season and Rob Wolf and Dr. Lauren Cordain. Those guys really provide a lot of information, especially basic information on how to get started with paleo. So thank you for sharing that with us. Now, what was your life and personal situation? I know you touched a little about this earlier with having kids, seven kids. Well, wow, it is. Congratulations, by the way, for that one. My God, you are a super cave mama, superwoman. Yeah, so I'd like for you to touch on your life and personal situation before starting paleo, and maybe share with us what was the defining moment that you said, okay, this is it. I'm going to start following the paleo lifestyle.
Honestly, it's funny that you mentioned that. I had the four children, and my husband at the time and I had kind of started transitioning to paleo, and he was just adamantly against it, but we didn't have the best marriage. It was a little bit on the abusive side. And so we got divorced a few years back, and I was a single mom for a while, and it was tough to maintain any kind of healthy lifestyle being a single mother of four. But I still made time to make sure that my kids were healthy. And then I met the most amazing man, and we got married, and we together kind of explored paleo as the only way to be healthy. And, you know, at first he was like, I don't know about this. And then I said, you know, I know you're in good shape and you work out and you feel like you can eat whatever you want. But, you know, what if for 30 days we did this together and you gave up your soda and you gave up your bread? And he did. And you know, 30 days later, he had lost quite a bit of weight, and now he went from 20% body fat at the time to now 7% body fat. The man's just really come far, and it helps when you do have that support. The other person in your life is willing to support your choices as far as how you're going to feed your kids and how you're going to feed yourself.
Wow. I mean, that is awesome. I mean, I hear you about having a support system around you, because that really helps. And I am happy for you that you met someone who was on board with you. And could you imagine from 20% to 7%? That is ripped. I mean, I'm telling you. So kudos to him and to you for making him see that. I'm sure you did not envision that one, or he probably didn't envision that one when you got started, but look at him now. So I'm sure our listeners are really excited about what's the possibilities of who they can be and what their body can be. Look at that. I mean, 20%, from 20% body fat to 7%.
The big thing about that is that he didn't change his exercise. He only changed his nutrition to paleo.
Right. I mean, paleo fans out there, did you hear that? I mean, if we could just nail our diet, because I truly believe that 80% of what our body looks like, I mean, how our body should, how we can achieve the fitness goal that we have is nutrition. So if we can nail the nutrition part of it and then eventually add more exercise to kind of tone up and like that, but still, even just the diet portion of it, nail it down, and oh my god, you will have a ripped body. All right, so thank you for sharing that, and kudos to both of you. Now let's go back to, or let's start touch on the topic of transitioning from being a non-paleo to paleo. I want you to take us back to that day when you realized that, okay, I'm going to get started. What did you do? I mean, what are those things that you did that help you transition to it so that our listeners can see for themselves, okay, I can do this too?
Well, honestly, I'm an all or nothing kind of person. I know that there are people who can kind of, you know, give up one thing at a time. And that's, you know, Scott did that. He, one at a time, he gave up soda and then bread. But I'm the all or nothing. So for me, one bite of a brownie isn't going to be one bite of a brownie. One bite of a brownie is going to be a whole pan of brownies, because that's just my personality. So instead of going one thing at a time, I actually just emptied my cabinets of all the junk and emptied my refrigerator and dove through books and books of recipes and ideas, made a meal plan for the week. And I'd always been pretty good at, you know, making a plan, because I have a lot of kids, so you kind of have to have a plan. And so I made a grocery list and I went to the store, and, you know, the first couple of shopping trips are a little expensive because you have to get your staples, but I just completely transitioned the house, and that way there were not the temptations, you know, well, this cabinet's for mommy and this cabinet's for the kids. To me, if it's not safe for me to eat, it's not safe for my kids to eat either. So it was an all hands on deck, you know, from the get-go, and we just did it.
Well, that is really huge. I mean, I can totally resonate with you, because if I see something there, I am so tempted to just grab it. So I think that's a big lesson for our listeners who are, you know, tuning in today, because if you know, I mean, I know all of us have certain willpower, but if we could just help ourselves without draining that willpower by emptying or removing whatever is a distraction or temptation up there, that would help you. So I like your attitude about all or nothing, but maybe some listeners that kind work for you guys. But if you just, you know, avoid those area, those ways for you to be tempted, then by all means do it. So I salute you for doing that, like a complete makeover. That is huge, and I'm sure it wasn't easy, but then your vision for your health was more important. So I really am on board with you with that one. And I want you to tell our listeners on what was the initial vision that you have that continues to drive you for succeeding and continuing to follow the paleo lifestyle? I mean, besides seeing your kids grow healthy and yourselves and your husband, what was that initial vision that keeps you motivated day in and day out?
The initial vision was kind of selfish. The initial vision was I wanted to look strong. I didn't want to look skinny. I didn't want to look like a, you know, emaciated, but I did want to look strong and fit and healthy. And so that was my original goal in looking up all of these things was purely for that reason. But the more I read about people getting off of their medications, people being healthier and, you know, able to achieve things that they hadn't before, I called my mom and said, listen, that extra 60 pounds you've been carrying around all this time, you know, for 15 years since my grandmother passed, I said, it's time. We need to do this together. And so my vision wasn't just for about myself after the education. It was about my family and getting us to the point where we were not feeling awful anymore, that we looked good, felt good about ourselves, but more importantly, that we were no longer dependent on the healthcare, or as I call it, the sick care system. And now my mom is down 60 pounds and is off all of her blood pressure medications and cholesterol meds. And the more that happens in my family, she's not the only one. I've got brothers and sisters and everybody who's completely transformed their health. And that keeps me driving on.
Awesome, awesome. And I am totally with you there on having your family on board with it. And I, of course, when we get started with any, even any kind of fitness goal, we always start with, we want to look good. I mean, of course, that is okay. I mean, that is our initial goal. But then after that one, we transcend beyond ourselves to include our families. Like, for example, your mom. Oh my God, your mom was doing awesome. And, you know, I had my mom too. I mean, she was pre-diabetic and she had borderline high cholesterol. And I started her too with little by little replacing or substituting those foods that I know are contributing to that. And now I am so proud of her because she's off her blood pressure medications, she's off her diabetic medications, and she feels a lot more energetic. So my God, to those super moms, your mom and my mom, oh, we salute you. You are great role models.
Absolutely.
Now, were there any big challenges you had, and how did you overcome them? I mean, I would like for you to share it to our listeners. What are those big challenges that you had for yourself and maybe they can learn from?
Big challenges for me were people who, naysayers, people who are like, well, they're just kids. Let them eat, you know, they're just kids, let them eat. Let them have, they deserve this, they deserve that. And, you know, in my mind, I'm of the, you know, thought process that they deserve to be healthy is what they deserve. They deserve to know that fruit tastes just as good if that's what you're getting. Yeah, Doritos and Goldfish and gummies, they taste great if that's what you're getting. But if you remove those things from your diet and start giving them real, whole, juicy food, they actually enjoy it. And you have to give them the opportunity to do so. I think people have such a mentality that, you know, kids will only like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and Goldfish crackers. And I have found that even with my youngest ones, now that their palates have been cleaned, they ask for seconds and thirds on things like salmon and, you know, Brussels sprouts, which is crazy to me because of how we were conditioned. But the big challenge for me is just to get people to understand that this isn't, I'm not putting my kids on a diet. My kids are fine. They're healthy. It's not about us being on a diet. It's not about us being health freaks. It's about the fact that if I had learned about paleo when I was young, I wouldn't have had the battles that I've had. My mom wouldn't have had the battles that she's had. Challenges for me are naysayers, and I just try to overcome them with positivity and get them to understand that this is about health.
Right, and I think that resonates for a lot of people as well who have been through who transitioned to this kind of lifestyle. Because, you know, naysayers, the negative people, are always going to be out there. But, you know, as soon as they see you transform, I mean, physically, beyond physical, then they start understanding in any way it is our own choice and it is their choice if they want to follow or not. So being a role model to them, seeing you transform yourself and your family, that would, I'm sure, eventually help them see it, have the awareness that, okay, it is working for them, so maybe it will for me. So I guess the naysayers, the negative people out there, are a big challenge for us who are transitioning, for those who are transitioning to the paleo diet, because there will be, and some of the people might see you as like aliens, like with me. Oh my God, my friends will say, they look at me like I'm an alien because I don't eat what they were eating in the beginning. I said, oh no, but it is my choice. I'm not preaching this to you guys, so it's just my personal choice, and I want to be healthy. And yeah, so thank you for sharing that one. I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to that one, and they hearing from you your experience and how you overcome them, that certainly is very helpful.
Well, I think another huge challenge that a lot of moms, especially if we're talking to my demographic and your demographic, the mom thing is hard because I'm in school for nursing full time. I work 35 hours a week in a medical clinic. I have the 7 kids. I'm busy. People are busy. And the big challenge there is, how do I cook? How do I maintain this and not just stop through a drive-through somewhere and pop McDonald's back in the back seat? You know, that's becoming more and more popular as we get busier as a society. And fortunately, I have spent 3 very difficult years trying to figure out exactly how that works. I can tell you the way to overcome that is preparedness. You know, I cook on Sunday afternoons and I cook on Wednesdays, and I cook ahead and I do boiled eggs and I use my crock pot. And there are just different ways that you can overcome that by preparing ahead of time, cooking chicken breasts ahead of time. And then if you're in a rush, you can throw it in a pan with some, you know, whatever leftover vegetables and stir fry it up real quick. You know, you just have to learn those little tips and tricks about taking snacks with you and not being tempted to stop at a drive-thru somewhere.
Absolutely. And my God, Nicole, so you are really a superwoman now. I mean, combining raising 7 children and going to school. By the way, congratulations. And I'm excited for you to welcome you in the world of nursing, because I am a nurse as well. I've been a nurse for the last 20 years of my life, and I totally see the challenges there, especially for us with varying shifts, like working night shifts or these different shifts that we have in a hospital, and yeah, having nothing healthy around. I mean, the vending machine more often than not, they are not healthy substitutes.
Right.
So you are right about really being prepared. So I prepare my food, and of course my colleagues would ask me, how are you able to maintain this? And well, like what you said, I prepare my meals in advance, that way I don't have to be tempted on just grabbing something that's not healthy there. And you know, and they asked me about time. I said, of course, we all have 24 hours in a day, and if we make time to brush our teeth, why can't we make time to prepare a healthy meal? I mean, we are giving, it is our own body, and we should take care of it the way we take care of somebody, of our patients. I mean, we care a lot for our patients, so why aren't we taking care of ourselves as well? So thank you for sharing that one. I really appreciate that. Now, let's talk about your measures for success. I know you mentioned about the physical benefits like that, but I want you to dig deep on a little bit more on what were your benchmarks beyond the physical measures of success. Were there any form of benchmarks that you use so our listeners can see, okay, I want this body and I know I can achieve it because Nicole did, but what was beyond, what were the intangible aspect as well?
Sure. Success for me, it was a little bit different. Right at first, like I said, it was all about the physical. So I did the Whole 30 last January, and I blogged it, and that was a scary, scary thing for me because I posted my before pictures right off the bat. That held me very accountable to 5,000 people that follow the blog. So for me, the big first benchmark was weight loss. And I wasn't hugely overweight by any stretch, but I had gained a little bit over the holiday season, and you could definitely see a difference. And so I did the before and after there. So that was my first benchmark. It was kind of like a physical thing. But what I noticed along the way is I'm sleeping better. My acne cleared completely up. My kids' eczema was gone. Then I was like, okay, so if that's the case, what's my blood panel right now? So I took a blood panel. My cholesterol was a little bit borderline. So then that was my next goal. How am I going to get that under control? And then, you know, who can I help get off their medications? So then it became a benchmark of other getting other people healthy, because I feel like I'm finally at a place where this is almost second nature to me now. It does become second nature. This is just the way that I eat, just like a vegan. It's just the way that they eat. It's their lifestyle. But for me now, my success is measured by other people's success.
How they feel. Right. That is incredible. I mean, of course, you got those physical for yourself, and it transcended beyond you. I mean, having gotten those results for yourself, now you transcended to others, and your benchmarks are the success of others. And what a worthy goal that you have, and what a worthy vision that you have there. And I can't wait for other clients or readers you have there, that you have changed lives. So kudos to you.
Oh, thank you.
Now let's talk about your plans for the future. Can you tell us more about your business or the Cave Mama blog itself, and what are you up to, or currently up to, or in the future?
Well, my future plans have gone back and forth through the course of nursing school. I have really enjoyed the ICU. I've really enjoyed emergency medicine, but the doctor that I work for, I've been with him for about 3 years, and he's a gynecologist and he's a surgeon, and he also owns a weight loss clinic. So when I first started working there, we talked a lot about paleo, and he kind of hem-hawed, and then I introduced him to some well-researched articles, and through the course of the first year of me working there, he lost 80 pounds and he's kept it off. So he's kind of revamped his whole weight loss clinic side of things to reflect paleo, which has been just a huge deal for me. And he himself has just started really treating people with diet and exercise before he'll give out medications, which I think is absolutely the most fantastic thing that could have happened. So I graduate in 63 days, not that I'm counting, but I am. And he has already offered me to stay and really revamp the way that healthcare is done versus sit care. So my goal there is to stay with him. I'm going to move on and get my nurse practitioner's license and probably take over the practice and have him be the, he'll want to retire eventually and he'll consult. So my goal is to just be what healthcare was intended to be, with Hippocrates and let medicine be thy food, and really get that out to people. They can change their health through what they put into their body.
What an exciting future you have there. And my God, that is just, I mean, in my opinion, that's just what we really need. And I am so happy that you've got that doctor to be on board with you, because I think we should look at medicine different nowadays. I mean, food should be the medicine. Food, we should not just be treating diseases. I mean, we are big on prevention, but we haven't been really doing things to be really proactive in those preventive measures. And I like the tenets of your clinic, you said, about incorporating this paleo lifestyle before jumping into medications. Oh, that is so huge. I mean, I can't wait for that day. I mean, I envision the world to be like that. Like, if we could just, get our health back by not resorting to medications first. If we could just get as many doctors, for example, to be on board with this, to treat these preventive diseases with alternative methods like diet like the paleo diet, for example, before they prescribe medications. Could you imagine how big that impact was going to be? So
I can't imagine it. I envision it every day. It's a huge thing. And when I saw that they had the Paleo Physicians Network come out, I was just overly excited that this is becoming a thing.
I am so on board with you, and I'm so excited. So you and I will keep creating this awareness to the world that there is another way, that we don't have to get stuck with the bureaucracies, and
correct,
we have to, be responsible for our own health and not just, follow whatever the pharmaceutical companies or, wants us to do or wants us to take. So, wow, love it, love it. Now, if there are three things that you can share our listeners today, especially for those who want to transition to a paleo-based diet or lifestyle, what would those be?
Okay, well, I think the first thing is educate. Educate yourself completely, because if you just take snippets from different blogs and you kind of put it all together, you're not getting the full picture. I think education is key, about learning what it means to nourish your body fully with real food. The other thing I would say is to go all in. You know, if you need to go step by step and take out one thing at a time, that's fine, but be committed to changing and know that you're worth it. And I think that it's something that people don't understand, is they're not just doing a diet to make other people happy. They have to understand that this is about you and your family and your health, and you're totally worth doing this for. And I think the other thing is, N equals one. You know, after you've educated and you've done everything else, figure out what works best for you. Don't listen to the paleo police. They're out there and they'll tell you, you know, you can't do this, or that's not paleo, or this is paleo. And I think the biggest thing with that is find out what works for your body and your health. For instance, some people are fully able to do grass-fed, whole organic dairy products. And I think that's wonderful. I can't. I break out with the acne. I get sick in my stomach. I can't do dairy. So I've learned that for myself. But does that mean that Scott can't do dairy? No, he can totally handle it. So as long as it's from a good source and it works for him. And I think that that's where people get so caught up in the, is this paleo? Is that paleo? Does it make your body feel good? Are you inflaming? Is it processed? You know, get that what works for me mentality and get out of the what works for everybody else. So, and the only other thing I would say is that there are a lot of blogs out there now that are based in paleo desserts. And although I think that's a great thing for things like birthday parties and, you know, preparing yourself for a special occasion, I think what happened to me, especially right in the beginning, is that you have all these quote unquote paleo friendly cookies and cakes, and all you're doing is basically replacing the bad habits you already had with bad habits that you're making for the future, because they're still full of sugar. So I think that, you know, using those things as a treat, but not using them as paleo. They should be labeled gluten-free, in my opinion, and not necessarily paleo. So, you know, like I said, educate, do what works for you, stay away from the paleo police, and, you know, just use desserts where they're necessary. It would be the things that I would say are good.
Wow. I mean, Nicole, I'm really totally on board with you there, especially with when you mentioned about this rampant paleo desserts out there. I mean, I feel so sad, because I think it's giving some negative connotation out there that it's okay to eat sweets. Of course we are. I mean, I feel very sad for that one, because like what you said, it is okay as a treat, but like what Dr. Lauren Cordain said, they are still sugars, and that's exactly why we want to go away from this too much sugar in our body, because our bodies most of the time are already inflamed, and one of the culprits is sugar. So the pictures are awesome, I think it's giving some negative connotations in the public that they think that paleo is that having this paleo cookies is okay, and it's defeating the sole purpose. So I love that you mentioned that, because I'm totally on board with that. So let me summarize those three things that you've just shared for our listeners today. So first, educate yourself. You learn how to nourish yourself naturally. And the second one is to figure out what works best for you. I mean, I totally agree with what you said, that our bodies, everyone is different. So like what Nicole shared, maybe your body cannot tolerate dairy. I can't myself either. So while other primal groups said it's okay to have dairy as long as they come from a good source, like what Nicole said, try it for yourself and see what that how that affects you. And you don't have to be so strict. I mean, I'm not really that strict, but at the same time, let's not make this paleo thing so complicated. A lot of people out there, they make it so complicated that they are so paralyzed in just starting out. So if you could just simplify it and find ways that work for us in terms of whatever our lifestyle is at your current situation, then go for that one. And then the third one, as you said, you stay away from a lot of the paleo sweets because, it, like what I said, it really defeats the purpose of having a of reducing the sugar in our body that's causing all of this inflammation. So thank you for sharing that. I am very sure that our listeners have got a lot of takeaways from what you've just shared.
Thanks.
All right, Nicole. So as we, last but not least, I'd like for you to share with our listeners where they can connect with you and learn more about what you do, especially with what you're doing at cavemama.com.
Yeah, the best way to connect with me is on Facebook, facebook.com/cavemama, and it's spelled C-A-V-E-M-O-M-M-A. My kids came up with that. At the blog at www.cavemama.com or Twitter at the Cave Mama.
And one last thing, Nicole. I know you mentioned about a resource earlier with where you got started with the Mark's Daily Apple. I would like for you to, if you can recommend one book or one resource that our listeners can get right away, so that if they wanna, if they're thinking about transitioning to the paleo, adapting the paleo diet and lifestyle, that way they can be informed and educated first.
Oh, just one. That's hard. I think I would give different recommendations for different demographics, but I think for one, marksdailyapple.com is a really great website if you just don't read books or don't, you know, want to get your hands on something right away. That's a great web source. For parents, there's Paleo Parents. They are amazing, and they have great stuff for kids, like Eat Like a Dinosaur, awesome book for kids. If you're of the other, you know, any other things, I think balancebites.com, the 21-day sugar detox with Diane Sanfilippo is amazing. And also It Starts With Food probably is the number one thing I would say. It Starts With Food, Dallas and Melissa Hartwig. That's the one we give to our patients in our clinic, and that's a great resource. And I think their website is whole9life.com. So I know you asked for one, but it just depends, I think, on where you are in the process, which one I would recommend.
No, but that's awesome. And by the way, for all our listeners, all these fantastic resources that Nicole mentioned in today's podcast will be made available in a beautiful infographic show notes at transitioningtopaleo.com. You just type in the name Nicole Reiner on the search bar and it will find it for you. So, Nicole, thank you so much for being so generous in sharing your time and your inspiring story, and for being such a role model to many, and for bringing a positive energy with our listeners today. The Paleo fans out there, including me, appreciate you and wish you more success in business and in your life.
Thanks for having me so much, and I look forward to listening to more of your podcasts.
Did you know there is a hormone in your body that turns your belly into a magnet for ugly fat? It literally turns the food you eat into embarrassing, pant-stretching, stubborn belly fat, even the foods you think are healthy. Discover a simple test that reveals if the belly fat hormone is sabotaging your fat loss, and learn the easy and natural ways to shut down this hormone for good, so you can have the flat stomach you deserve. Go to eatmoreburnmoresystem.com to learn more.
Thanks for listening to Transitioning to Paleo Made Easy. Now it's time to get your quick and easy step-by-step guide to transitioning to the paleo diet. This beautiful free download includes the three most important things that you need to be focusing on in order to make the transition as smooth as possible. Ready to get started? Head over to transitioningtopaleo.com right now and begin your journey. And we'll see you next time.